It brings me a lot of joy to be able to share this time with you. There's times in our lives, right, that we have our own plans, excuse me, and in those plans, God sometimes just kind of loves to mix things up. But it is such a joy that even in the midst of all the challenges and the chaos of life these days, we can still share this time together. And I just want to say thank you for joining us, and I pray that God truly blesses you in this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that you've gathered us here, that you provided a way for us to join with you in this moment, to come before you, to humble ourselves, to seek out your face, to ask that you would do a deeper work in our lives. You'd meet us where we're at. Not because we have it all together. Not because everything makes sense. But because you are good and faithful. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe, so that we may be the people you've called us to be. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. In your name. Amen. I'd like to talk to you today about the genuine thing. The genuine thing is something that's more than just something that is precious to us, like, say, gold or whatever. You might hear the phrase in sports, you know, the real deal. But something that you just, you know, someone who doesn't just talk the talk but walks the walk, the real McCoy, even. This genuine thing that I believe that all of us desperately need and desire, and that is to learn to walk with the Lord, learn to trust in Him, have faith in Him. Even those who are far off from the Lord, from choice or in circumstance, the Lord always provides opportunities for us to know that He's there, that He's always been working, that He's always been for us and not against us. And I think one of the best illustrations of this genuine thing is actually this thing called family and faith. I think family, the family of God, and faith and trust in Him is the thing that God has kind of given us gifts, places for us to experience His goodness, His love. I thought about this this week, that we grow in love and to love and to trust the one who birth everything, who's given us this life in Him, so much quicker, so much more natural in the family of God. When we're around a healthy, flourishing church family, it's amazing how much easier it is to lean in. It's amazing how much easier it is to hear challenges and arise to the occasion, how much more natural it is to surrender. God's called us all to surrender. And in community, we tend to do that so much more natural, so much quicker. Challenges, though, for our family and our faith, that outside of the family of God, they tend to not be as natural. In fact, sometimes I would say even most of the time in the world, it seems to pull us apart, kind of thing. That our faith and faith in the Lord, our trust in the Lord, our belief in the Lord gets weakened over time. And that's where I just want to encourage you that we need to lean in on Him and one another, especially during this COVID season, especially during any day, no matter where we're at, to learn to walk in humility, but walk in faithfully where the Lord leads. I have a text today that I want to kind of unpack, and it deals where kind of the location here, the context here, is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. But just to kind of give you the kind of a picture of what their life was like and how kind of Peter, we believe, is in Rome, writing to encourage the churches in that area. This would have been a place called Asia Minor, where modern-day Turkey is, kind of the size of Texas. Okay, so, you know, not a small place, very vast. But in this place, this, you know, they were experiencing a ton of, they were experiencing great trials, suffering, because they were Christians. In fact, I mean, we have ancient manuscripts of the Roman leaders talking about these Christians and what they should do with them, and how they were authorized to kill them even. For the first 300 years of Christianity, it was illegal. And so you have this Rome, about 65 AD, there was a major fire that had started, and Christians were blamed for it, and were accused at least of it, and of starting it. And so it really challenged their faith, their trust, that suffering happens. And sometimes you didn't do anything for it. You know, every one of us has regrets. Every one of us has made choices that we go, man, why didn't I listen to other people when they said, don't do this or I shouldn't do that? Every one of us has those kind of moments. But there's sometimes suffering we didn't do anything for. Those in the line of the fire, they didn't do anything that caused that. Those that are in the line of the hurricanes, they didn't do anything. It's just suffering, and it's hard. It's hard to deal with those things. And so here these Christians are trying to continue this thing called life, living and breathing, literally, in spite of the being illegal to be a Christian. And they're brought in on charges. And because here's the thing, all of their faith, okay, of that known world, Romans, Greeks, and even, you know, again, parts of Turkey that were populated and controlled pretty much by Rome, were managed by that kind of the culture and the ethos of what their society based on. Gods and multiple gods, and there was, you know, gods for the Roman Caesar and so on and so forth. They everything you did related to something of that nature, and so you have this group of people that are really turning their world upside down, saying no, that the Roman Caesar is not a god, and we don't, there's only one true God, and his name is Jesus, and he's risen from the dead, and so they have all these things that they're stopping their culture. I mean, the temples are going empty. In fact, that we in some of these writings we have of ancient manuscripts, ancient writings of these leaders talking to one another, they're like, you know, the markets, people aren't buying like the sacrificial food to idols. Like, we gotta step this up. These Christians are not just even impacting the city, they're impacting the neighboring villages and towns. So we gotta change this up. I mean, it's impacting their economy. And, you know, you can see that sometimes things get a little touchy, dicey when it comes to the economy, as we can see in these days. Back to this. So here we have this area here, these people who are followers of the Lord, and yet in this situation, Peter's trying to encourage them. He's trying to help them to remember who God is, who they are, and how to keep focused and surrender and keep moving forward where God's leading. So I hope it encourages you. I hope it challenges you, and I hope you're able to track with us. It starts off with this: praise be to the Father and God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's just laying it out there who it is, right? He deserves all the glory, all the praise. He's not only God, but he's the Father of our Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord is one who is in charge. He's got authority in our lives. He's the one who says what's good and what's not good, right? He's the one. See, there is a top-down kind of leadership with God, not in the... in the corrupt way that a lot of times leaders do in our world, but we follow the Lord's lead, not just whatever we think is right, you know, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in community, we seek what the Lord leads. He goes on to say this: in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. If you had your scriptures open, your Bible open, I would have you just underline this entire verse, because it's just so important. He has given us, again, this in his great mercy, given us new birth and a living hope. This new birth is something that is so much bigger than just a moment in time. Yes, we have all been born, okay? Just a natural birth, right? I have a birthday, and I'm not 50, even though some people still keep saying, wow, you look good for 50. I'm like, that was a joke by our elder Steve Sill, and that's so good. His birthday will be coming another day, and we'll celebrate him in a special way. Anyway, but we all have a birth that we celebrate, that we remember, and we're different because of it, right? We don't stay in those same clothes. We don't eat the same food. No, we grow through it, and we have a new birth in the Lord. And this new birth doesn't just mean, okay, we're now born again in Jesus, and so now we're here, and we're just going to wait till he takes us home. It's we're to grow in him, to grow in faith and trust and hope, belief, that our actions should reflect this new relationship that God has given us. In this new birth, we have a birth into a family, right? Just like we were born into a natural family, we have a spiritual family. And that's where the church is supposed to be. And if anything, in 1 Peter, that's probably the strongest metaphor throughout the whole book of this family of God and how important it is for us to lean into that family and how important it was. Just unfathomable that there could be a Christian without a church. Now, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. Just understanding, 1 Peter says, I mean, it's like, of course we would be part of the family of God. That's we're Christians, so we have to be. It was just kind of like breathing oxygen. Of course you would do that. It's interesting how sometimes we can sometimes get away from that. And then also in this living hope. This living hope isn't just something of something I hope one day. This living hope is because Jesus is king. His reign was inaugurated on the cross and proclaimed at the Easter morning. It's something that this is the source of our hope, and I just want to encourage you that knowing Jesus and knowing him as Lord and Savior allows you to breathe, allows you to be the person God's called you to be without the feeling the pressure that is on you. Again, remember, this is about a relationship, not a religion. This is about us learning to walk in faithful obedience with the Lord. And I just want to encourage you in that. Peter goes on to say this. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, again, he died a real death, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. So we have this living hope through, again, this resurrection of Jesus and this inheritance that is safe in the Lord. That we're truly his children, and that what he promises for us, we will inherit. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Now, just to kind of back your mind, protected, shielded by God's power. These are the same people that are still suffering great, great travesties. I mean, we're talking, you know, again, torture, burnings. Martyrdom. And yet they're saying, listen, you're still shielded. So it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to you. What it means is that even in spite of it, God's with you and will give you the strength to endure. And through that, he comes on to unpack a little bit later, that because of that, listen, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time, when God finally does restore everything back, when he puts the world to rights, when he ends injustice, there won't be rallies for social justice at the end times. Why? Because God's the one who's going to lay it down, and it's going to happen. And that's good news. But don't miss this. This salvation is going to happen. It's the end of time. Yes, we begin this new birth here. Think of it kind of like, again, this. We're born, but yet we're growing up and through. And at the end, we'll finally experience that joy that will be unceasing. But this joy comes and this salvation comes through the family of God. Believe it or not, it's a gift. The family is supposed to be good and healthy. And if it is good and healthy, then it's a gift. There's nothing better when the church gets it right. And there's also nothing worse when the church gets it wrong. But it's supposed to be more life-giving. And wouldn't it be amazing if we learned that we grow so much faster, so again, so much more natural in the family of God than when we're apart from it, that we can actually even flourish. 1 Peter, again, chapter 1, verse 6 continues, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials." Before we get to the heart of what this text is showing, you might have noticed I keep underlining the word you or your. There's a reason for that. primarily because every time 1 Peter uses the word you or your, it's in the plural, every time, over 50 times. He keeps addressing these, and it would have been like known as a general epistle or like a Catholic letter, universal. So it would have been sent around to multiple congregations to encourage them in the midst of their trials, in the midst of them suffering for their faith, which is primarily the focus he has here. But I do believe we can relate to his suffering in other ways too, no matter where you're at. But this you is plural. It'd be, for Southern, be y'all, okay? So when you read in this and all this, y'all greatly rejoice, right? I know it doesn't roll, but yeah, the reality is it's always plural because it's a community of people coming together, not an individual written just to one person. So then it goes on to say that you've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, that they're, everywhere they turn, they've suffered because of their faith. But notice this, this is beautiful, that these have come so that, and that's right, my underline or highlight or circle, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, genuineness, that the trials help refine it, they help purify it, they help prepare it so it's really able to run the race, that it's able to finish what God has started. I don't know about you, but I know growing up, I thought I was better than I was. And part of that is probably, you know, family, you know, like, hey, you're great at that, you know, and stuff. And then you know, reality hits and you're like, wait, I'm not that fast. Like, I remember in grade school racing with this guy so we could try to date a girl. Now, again, this is like fourth grade. Okay. So, it's, you know, it's kind of the big thing there. Anyway, so I remember racing and I was so slow and I was like, I'm so much faster at home. What's going on? And again, it was a reality check, right? It was a, listen, you're just not that fast, you know? And I was like, whoa, all of us have moments where we try to rise to occasion, we don't make it. And we're tested, we're tried. But some of the greatest people that God has used throughout history have been people that have been able, because of their faith being tested, because of their being stretched, they were able to stand and deliver when God called on them. And you don't know your time. You don't know when God's going to call you to serve in a way that really, man, if you prepared well, then you're ready for it. But if you didn't, and you're like, man, Lord, oh boy. But this genuineness of faith, he describes it like this, Peter does, of it being greater worth than gold. Now, that was the most precious thing at that time period, which perishes even though refined by fire. So, even gold doesn't last forever. We're refined again through our trials, whether it be a hurricane, whether it be COVID-19, whether it be a job loss, whether it be an illness. We're refined through our trials if we respond in faith, if we seek the Lord. Lord, I need your help. Help my unbelief. Help me where I'm not trusting you. Help me, Lord. Give me the strength I need. And not to rush out. My morning devotional this morning before I came to record was it's a great book, Spiritual Leadership by J. Oswald Sanders. And Oswald says this. He says, you know, if you really want to humble someone, ask them about their prayer life. And I was just like, that was like the second line. I was like, whoa. I was like, whoa, I pray. I think I pray. I think I pray pretty good. But he was like, man, it never ends. You're always growing. And the thing about how much Jesus went through and how much he needed, desperately needed, that time of prayer, of preparation, whenever he would be used somewhere, he would then retreat to pray, to be renewed and restored and be reminded again of who he is and what God's doing. And in those times of trials, we need to be running to the Lord, seeking him out. It might be a flat tire this week. I know that's not a big trial, but God can deliver. God will show up. It may be a loved one passing. And that's where our faith is tested, someone that we love so dearly. That's where we have to lean out to our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as the Lord, and be encouraged in our faith. But it's meant to refine our faith. It's meant to help our faith become, again, genuine. Because don't forget this part of this text may result. All of this, all these tests, all these trials, all this leaning in may result. That there's an outcome of this. This is not just suffering for suffering's sake. That God will use it for good. He has a purpose for this. May result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That not only is Jesus going to be revealed as the one true king and restore the whole world to himself, but all those who have suffered great trials, especially for their faith, God will let them experience praise, glory, and honor as well. That's to us. Though you have not seen him, and again, all these yous are plural, though you have not seen him, so these are people that didn't witness, Peter witnessed. They did not see this Jesus. They didn't touch. They didn't see. They weren't these witnesses. And yet, Though you have not seen him, you love him. We can relate to this, can't we? And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Belief wasn't just this like a philosophy or this doctrine of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, like kind of ethical thing. I mean, it wasn't just this thing I mentally do, I ascribe to. No, belief was the core of who you were. It was part of your soul. It was what you trusted in, faith in. But when you believe in him, notice this, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That Jesus can be our source of joy. In the midst of the trials, we can celebrate not because of the trials. No one goes and does a happy dance because of cancer. No one does a happy dance because of COVID. No one does that because of losing a job or trials in their lives. No, they run to the Lord, and in that, he will give us the joy that's inexpressible. I want to invite you to know this Jesus like this. That it's not about you just pretending. It's not about you just working your way through this thing called life. But it's about learning to actually grow in love and trust and even joy. As others get to know you, they know this and they see this and they want to know how they can have it. It's about following where he leads. And once you experience that peace that passes all understanding, once you've experienced his joy in you and your joy in him, life is different. It really is. And I just want you to know that. I really do. As Peter wraps this part up, for you are receiving the end result. Again, this all has a reason. He's going to use it for good. For you are receiving the end result of your faith. Again, of your community of faith. The salvation of your souls. That as we all continue to faithfully walk in obedience with him, through prayer, through community coming together, through submitting and surrendering, we can experience true salvation. Now, salvation, I just want to kind of lay it out there. Sometimes that's a kind of a fancy word, or a religious word, and we kind of, it might be thrown around. Salvation is, for Peter especially, is more of a process. It's something that begins at new birth, but through that, it's new life in Jesus. And because of that, now we're on mission with God. That the salvation is something of about learning. It's an ongoing outcome of what a life faithful in the Lord looks like. An ongoing outcome. That, again, it's a process. It's something that, yes, started in new birth. I can tell you my birth date, but I can tell you that I'm in a different place, and God's leading me different ways. He never helped me to be born to stay a baby. He wants me to grow up in him. He wants you to grow up in him. And it starts with us humbling ourselves and learning to live faithfully in step with him. There's a great old hymn. There's a great old hymn called In the Garden. In the Garden by Austin, C. Austin, says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. This In the Garden is a great illustration of what our life looks like in the Lord, no matter whether we have a beautiful moment of joy because of circumstances, but especially the joy we can experience in the midst of trials and suffering, that it's as he talks, as we listen, as we talk, as he listens, he tells us who we are in him, his own. That we can have this joy and we won't tarry there. Check it out one day and maybe even go on iTunes, see if you can pull it up. I'm sure you can find it somewhere, maybe on YouTube, but In the Garden, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Now where's the homework? Here's the homework. I know that many of you are really always asking, wait, tell me where's our homework? Don't forget. We're going to go into, we're doing a little change here, but we're going to start beginning in John, the Gospel of John. Very different from Mark. Not that it's different in different accounts. We have conflicting stuff, but a different perspective, a different way of looking at it. This is much more distant from that time period, but yet allows you to kind of like what does resurrection life looks like looking back? And I'll unpack that when we hit John, but how different it is once we know Jesus and now we see what Jesus did and how he taught. It makes sense. The other three Gospels are more like in the moment as it happened kind of thing, looking forward. This one's kind of looking back. It's kind of like when you know the end of the story and you're kind of like, okay. So John, the Gospel of John, again, New Testament, part two, chapters 1-4. And I hope this connects with you. I hope this challenged you, but I hope it also encouraged you, really, really encouraged you in your faith this day. Trials are temporary, but faith is forever. Life in the Lord is forever. And so when you're tired, when you're struggling, remember this powerful truth and this hope that we have in Jesus, a living hope. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace. Go in his love. And go in his power. Amen. We'll see you next week.